Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
I never doubt. No, I'm not going to respond. I'm not responding because you're just trying to work me into a shoot and it's not going to work. You got to wake up early.
Prove they were right.
Got to wake up earlier
Jason
than I do.
Was right.
I wake up at 3:10. Who was right? Who was right?
Jason.
The guy who did the coming in hotline?
Yeah.
I did not.
Get on the Odyssey app, then you've favorite the station and click the.
But I didn't doubt the Gardos. I didn't doubt them.
That's not what I heard.
I didn't doubt him.
What I don't understand are people telling me.
I've watched more Gardos than anybody on the air.
Just because you watched them doesn't mean you didn't not doubt
them. Well, I thought you just record them.
Yeah, I've watched a lot of Browns. I've done a lot of doubting them. What do you mean I record them?
I thought I heard it was one of my vacation weeks that you just
then
record
watch
them and
back.
Count
it. It still matters. It still counts.
Owen turns it on here in the studio and then goes, I watched them. And
still counts.
He has no clue what's happening.
Still counts.
No.
Now, there's been a
they
couple that I've
game.
Missed.
I acknowledge they played a game, therefore
no, that's
I watched.
Not true. No, that's not true at all. No, you're wrong. I'm
if,
right.
If
wrong.
They weren't wearing the uniforms, would he know which team is
he
which?
He would have no clue.
Of course, okay, I would know which team is which.
He doesn't know.
So here, well,
if they were running around out there naked, I might not know who they all are. I don't know some by their face. I mean, some are new. Like I don't know what Lane Thomas looks like.
Eyes up here, buddy.
If Grady Sizemore was out there with his coffee cup instead of his uniform,
I couldn't see anything. I wouldn't know.
All right. So the one thing that annoys me is when people are telling me I will only apologize if they win the World Series. Man, it's hard to be a sports fan if you really are World Series or bust, Super Bowl or bust, champ NBA Finals bust every single year.
Only one team gets to do it.
No one
year.
Wants to apologize, so no one you're saying no. You don't want them to win the World Series.
Well, that's true. Yeah, are they rooting against them secretly?
216-474-0092. I'm not rooting against them. Obviously, I'm not. I didn't doubt them.
No, you're not rooting against
them. I didn't doubt them. Right now, I have watched out of their baseball games. I have watched 101, 2, 3, 103. How many games have they played?
I'm getting
84
that
and 62.
Right
I can't do that. That's 6.
Pulling up my
142.
Calculator app.
I've watched 103. Man, I've only still watched 103 out of 142 games. I mean, I went on vacation. And then, like, man, like the one weekend, and then when I was in Seattle.
You're barely a C right now. That's a 72%, Ken.
Oh, my God.
You better get it up before the end of the season.
If I've watched 103 games out of 142.
I mean, that is.
How many? What percentage of Guardians fans am I ahead of? 67?
72%.
Oh, yeah.
72% of them? Yeah.
Especially with the TV situation.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the day, everybody watched every game, but things have changed.
Hopefully that'll get resolved, but you know that's a conversation for a different day. Well, fine. Use the coming in hotline. I don't know why you're blaming me. I didn't do anything wrong. But again, Lima he can just get you guys to follow. You'd be a great cult leader, too. He can get anybody to just follow his line of BS. Because everybody goes, he's just so mean. He's just so nasty. But everybody finds a way to agree with you just by the way you talk. I hate it. Start your game day with the Fan Bud Light Tailgate Show with Jonathan Peterlin. Live from the Neon Room at MGM Northfield Park this Sunday. Starting at 10 a.m. through kickoff at 1 p.m. Make the Bud Light Tailgate Show part of your game day routine on the radio home of your Cleveland Browns. 92.3 The Fan, presented by Valley Automotive Group, the Buckeye Law Group, and Sow's Heating and Cooling, Plumbing and Sewer. Get details at 92.3thefan.com. Before we go back to the Browns. Had Archie Griffin on the show at 8 o'clock. Hear that entire interview, 92.3thefan.com and on the free Odyssey app. For a moment in time, he took me back to the old days of when I was a big Ohio State fan. And I had posted on social media that at that moment, having Archie Griffin on, I said, I'm a lapsed Ohio State fan, but Archie Griffin being on the show brings up a lot of memories of when I loved the Buckeyes. I observe college football now and have a few teams I favor, but I'll always love Archie Griffin. And a lot of people asked, why do you... And I said, I remember I told you many times the story about the Jim Tressel thing, and I felt that it was an overreaction. I was mad at Gene Smith. I didn't want to believe that the senator had lied to NCAA officials. And then, honestly, ever since we found out way worse infractions in college football, stuff that he should not have gotten fired for in the first place, it's made me just never want to come back to being a hardcore Ohio State fan. And also, I got to admit to you guys, I'm a happier person. If I used to be, Lima doesn't realize, Lima, I've told this a million times, I don't know if he believes or what, I was the biggest Ohio State fan you would find. In Stark County, I was one of the biggest ones you would find. That's saying something. There's a lot of Ohio State fans all over this state. I was one of the biggest Ohio State fans you would find. I lived it, breathed it, the whole thing. And I feel if I still felt that way, my weekends would be awful. Because I obviously want the Browns to do well. And I obviously want the Cavs and Guardians to do well. If I felt that way about Ohio State football, man, I'd be a miserable individual. Because they win, but I also get to enjoy all the other teams that play. I get to have, and like, I don't hate Michigan. So I can observe Michigan, and I can think when I think they're right, when I think they're in trouble, when I think they're wrong, those type of things. And my old psychotic hate for Michigan does not impugn my judgment, I believe. I don't hate Notre Dame. I don't hate Wisconsin. I don't hate Penn State. I don't hate these schools, and I think it makes me able to call it down the line a little bit better. I favor Akron. I would say I'm an Akron fan because I went there, and obviously I favor Ohio State, kind of like Notre Dame, Ashland, which is D2, so it doesn't count at FBS, but you get what I'm saying. So I'm able to do it a little bit more because people are like, well, you can come back, and I go, no, I can't. I really can't. If I came back, if I tried to come back as a hardcore Ohio State fan, I think most people, like they're doing to me with the Guardians here and saying that I doubted them for whatever reason, you would run me so ragged because then you would just accuse me of not being a real Ohio State fan, and then I'm no better than Mitch. I can't. I've made my bed. I have to lay in.
Well, also, college football in general looks so different than it did when we were younger, and certainly for older fans, you know, if you're in your 50s and 60s, this doesn't even resemble the sport that you knew and the Big Ten that you knew and what this whole thing was like. I mean, in many ways, it's still great football. I mean, you're not missing out on that.
It's always weird until they kick off at noon and then everything's fine.
That's normal,
again.
Right? Yeah. It's normal football. Yeah, they pass a lot more than they used to. And they're starting to protect quarterbacks more than they used to. But you're right. So I understand as I've gotten older, I mean, certainly when you think about kids getting paid, being able to leave the school anytime they want and then go transfer to Michigan if they want or any other school if they so want to. Like, yeah, that's...
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Weird. That is not the college football we grew up with.
No.
The whole point of college football was it wasn't like that. It was different from the NFL. There wasn't free agency. The players didn't make money.
But at that time, there was less focus on winning everything and winning a national championship. For Ohio State, I mean, a really good year during the Cooper years, if you could beat Michigan, that would be a bigger year. And then we ended up not liking John Cooper, who was a wildly successful coach, because he couldn't beat Michigan. But if you look what reasonable expectations were for a lot of schools, or I think for just about every school, it was, and this is unbelievable to anybody in 2024, can you win a national championship? Yeah, maybe, that'd be great. But what you really want to do is you want to win the conference and go to a bowl game. A bowl game would be great. But then we had so many bowl games, now we have to raise the stakes. And then the investment became so much we had to raise the stakes. And then the TV money became so great that we had to raise the stakes. And I will tell you right now, as a guy who is not an Ohio State fan, I think Big Ten fans, Ohio State fans, should be proud of what the Big Ten is. You're bigger than the SEC. You found a way. ESPN runs college football, and you found a way to be bigger than the SEC. You are coast to coast. USC being in it, Limey, you said it yourself, you were rooting for USC last week.
That was weird.
Or 2 weeks ago against LSU.
It just happened.
Because they were a Big Ten
and
school.
And I've never been that way. I've never been.
I think you don't like Brian Kelly that much, too, but yeah, either way.
But I've never been that way. Like, that was an SEC thing.
Yes.
Like, rooting for your conference beyond anything else, chanting SEC, and I'll never be the guy chanting Big Ten. But I'll admit it, I was kind of rooting for USC in that game.
I think it's changed a lot of things, and I think it's become, before they expanded to Oregon, Washington, USC, UCLA's there for basketball, but fine, whatever. Until they made those expansions, it was, man, how are they going to raise it up to the level of the SEC where they take it seriously? Now you're going to have matchups every week where, you know, CBS and the drone footage and Brad Nessler and that stuff, that's going to be some really good stuff. And it already is some really good stuff, which, by the way, I have to bring this up because you know how little you care about it now, and I'll leave it with this. Pac-12 is officially adding Boise State, Colorado State, San Diego State, and Fresno State out of the Mountain West. And Lyman, you look at me and goes, well, I have to ask you, why do you care?
Yeah.
And I went, you're right, I don't anymore. It's just, it's news that there's four teams out of a pretty successful group of five conference that are leaving to go to the Pac-12 to make it right now a Pac-6.
I mean,
hopefully
they
can get two more so they can have the status. But
I hate to say it, what matters now in college football when we're talking highest levels and championships? Okay, there's a lot of football all over the place.
Yeah.
I cover MAC football and FCS teams. But at the highest stage, what matters now outside of the Big Ten, outside of the SEC, maybe your occasional ACC team every year, Notre Dame, and Owen, should I bring up Oklahoma?
Well, they're SEC now.
Yeah, so that's what I mean.
Oklahoma and Texas.
That was a brain fart. That was a brain fart for a second.
Believe me, I thought that same thing. It's like, where's my team? Oh,
that's
we're in
right.
the mix.
But isn't that incredible? What matters outside of those conferences and a few teams?
Not much. And as a football enjoyer, I got to tell you, I love the Big 12. I think it's as close a conference as ever. As an enjoyer of specifically one of those teams in that conference, I'd like to thank everybody who's in power at Texas for moving on to the SEC, because you no longer have to play them in conference anymore. So that's a nice thing. And honestly, if you're a classic fan, I don't know, the MAC's probably the closest thing to the classic way it used to be. There's very little NIL money at all, maybe in Toledo.
Oh, zero.
And that's probably like $100 here and there. I mean, that's it. By the way, the Axe on Twitter said he's acutely disappointed I don't show love for the YSU Penguins. I'm sorry about that. YSU is in there as well.
Finally.
The kids love looking at the stadium when we drive through on our way to Poland. And Uncle Lou, our friend Uncle Lou, he just passed away. He was a big booster. The fighting Uncle Lou's, man. Used to have, Lima, I'll say this, he used to have rum. He used to have a shot of rum and a glass of milk. Puerto Rican, man. Uncle Lou, man. Good guy.
This R.I.P. was on game days or just every day?
This was the family gatherings. Family gatherings.
Flapping penguin.
It was an honor to get Uncle Lou a drink. It was a great time.
Cincinnati's in the Big 12, by the way.
Didn't show it against Pitt. I'll tell you that right now. Anywho, you got to do what's best for everyone, not just one player. You and I need to reiterate. If Watson struggles Sunday, this became a huge point of contention for everybody. If Watson struggles Sunday, would I remove him from a game?
If the game is still hanging in the balance.
Possibly in the balance. If your defense keeps you in and he is just throwing three picks and this thing don't look good, you and I both said we would not remove him from the game. Why? Why would we not remove him?
Because I'm not giving up on the season. I'm not just...
But then the people would say, the people who called in, they would say, why you said you're not giving up on the season? Why are you keeping in a quarterback that's clearly broken?
Because the clearly broken part, there's a difference between clearly broken and still trying to get back up to speed for NFL football. He's played, this was all part of the deal, by the way, when you traded for him, is I expected more. I expected him to be a better football player and a better quarterback, clearly, and so did the Browns. But I did also anticipate, man, he's played so few games, and then you compound it with the injury last year, gave him even less chances to get up to speed to NFL football. Like, we came into this year, I assumed there'd be some rust. I didn't know how long it would last. I didn't. It's been one game, so now we're up to...
I've not used that word for a very long time, and I've been able to catch myself to not use that word.
Yeah, rust?
I'd rather drop an F-bomb right now than use that word.
So he has started now...
I'm not going to do either.
13 games, but he's only played 12 real games because the Indy game, he left so early. 12 real games since what year? What year was the last year in Houston?
2020 was his last full year. Yeah.
I wasn't expecting well-oiled machine to start this year.
I didn't expect well-oiled machine
and now,
either, but you didn't expect a
little bit.
He's going
up against another really good front. Your offensive line coming off last week, well, a little nervous about.
Everybody who's saying these things, they said, like Mary Kay, I saw things that I like. I saw things that I didn't like. I saw a quarterback that was playing scared.
Yeah.
I didn't like that. That's what made me worried. Wasn't that he didn't play that well. If he was confident, that's fine. He wasn't confident on
Kenny,
Sunday.
You're giving him, I'll just put it out there. You're
at least a month.
Yeah.
Because, guys, once you open the door, you can never go back through again.
That's it. Right.
He will be removed from the football team
if
after this,
because it
won't be worth their problem, and you are going to take such a hit.
He'll
have to stretch this out.
He'll be better against the Raiders. He'll be better against Washington because of the caliber of competition. Then it's the Eagles October 13th, and that's the one. If he is just below average throughout that, and then against Philly looks like he doesn't belong, okay, I might have to wave the white flag.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.